tried so hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it. You choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't. To glory.
gotta come a little higher.
my voice. When I lift my voice in shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority. Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority.
Tony. Grab my mic. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. We've got 1 minute before we start. Are you ready? Stand up with us today. Everyone out there in the lobby, tell them we're getting ready to start right now. So I want to read here Psalm 33, verse 1 from the Passion Bible. It says, it's time to sing and shout for joy. Go ahead, all you redeemed ones, and do it. praise Him with all you have. That's what I want to tell you today. It is time. Say, it's time. It's time to sing and shout for joy. Say this. Say, it's time to praise Him with all you have. It says, sing and make joyous music with all you've got inside. Sing and shout with passion. Make a spectacular sound of joy, for God's word is something to sing about. We got something to sing about, don't we? It's time to give God praise. Say, I came here today to give God praise. Lord, we worship you today. We lift you up today. We magnify you today. In Jesus' name, sing with us, clap your hands, sing along. Amen.
me. Here we go. I hear the sound. Powerful song. We're gonna sing I Need a Ghost. I missed you guys last week. I was with my family and my kids, and I really missed you guys. It's really good to be back. Amen. Together. I don't need the smoke of mirrors, 'cause I know there's a God who's real. I don't need the lights to fool me, 'cause I have seen the God who heals. I know when I ask, I'll receive it, 'cause you're not a God who withholds. I hear you say, just believe me. Here we go. I need a Holy Ghost awakening my soul. I need a love that goes rattling my bones till the evidence shows. I need a Holy Ghost awakening my soul. I need a heart on fire that'll never grow tired wherever I go. Another counterfeit comfort, 'cause nothing in this world remains. I need something stronger than lightning flowing inside of these veins. I need a Holy Ghost awakening my soul. I need a love that goes rattling my bones till the evidence shows. I need a Holy Ghost awakening my soul. I need a heart on fire that'll never grow tired wherever I go. I need a Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a ghost. Holy, Holy Ghost. I need a ghost. You're the fire, I can't even explain it. It's like I'm bursting with heavenly language. And every time I get a taste, I know I just want more, I just want more. You're the kingdom that's been growing inside me. It's like a lion's roar wants to revive me. And every time I get a taste, I know I just want more. I need a Holy Ghost awakening in my soul. I need a love. I need a Holy Ghost waking in my soul. I need a heart on fire that will never grow tired wherever I go. ghost, I need a ghost. Holy, holy ghost, I need a ghost. Holy, holy ghost, I need a ghost. Amen.
Goodness
today. Give him praise today. Let's worship him. I'm going to sing of the goodness of God. All my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. Just say that. Lift your hands. Say, all my life, Lord, thank you that you've been so faithful. Thank you that you've been so, so good to me, Lord. Let me tell you, every good thing in your life comes from God. The Bible says every good gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights. Every good thing in your life is a gift from God to you. Every one of us can sing that song. Lord, all my life, you've been faithful. All my life, you've been so, so good, Lord. With every breath that I'm able, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. Praise the Lord.
Right from before the service, this word has been flashing in front of my mind, in front of my eyes, and it is the word faithful. Yes. And there are people in this place today, and you don't think that God has been faithful to you because you've had experiences that have been disappointing, and you've had things happen to you, and you haven't been able to see God in that situation. But the Lord says to you today that from the time you were in your mother's womb, I have had my hand upon you, and I have been directing your life, says the Lord, and I am faithful, and I laid out every day of your life and the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. And so today you can trust me. You can trust me that I will fulfill every plan that I have for you, says the Lord, because I am faithful. And my word says I am faithful, then it means I am faithful. That means you can trust me. That means you can say, Lord, I place my life in your hands because I know you've got it planned out for me. I know the plans you have for me, that they are for good and for a future. And so no matter what I've seen around me, I look to God this morning because he is faithful and he will do. Say, he is faithful. And he will do unto me
as
he has promised.
As he's promised.
Every plan that he has set before me
will
come to pass.
Will come to pass.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Lord. Thank you.
He's
Lord.
Faithful. He's faithful. Family, good morning. This is a time in the service where we have the opportunity to pray for those who need prayer for anything. And I just want to read you this one scripture, and I just lost it there, but it was when Jesus was ministering. It's in Matthew 8, and it says, that evening the people brought to him many who were demonized, and by Jesus only speaking a word of healing over them, they were totally set free from their torment, and everyone who was sick received their healing. In doing this, Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. He put upon himself our weaknesses, and he carried away our diseases and made us well. So we see in Jesus' ministry that he did what the prophet Isaiah had prophesied about him. The prophet Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would, this Savior, would take our infirmities. He would take our pains. He would take our sicknesses. And that was a prophetic word, but Jesus came and lived it out. And everywhere he went, people were set free and people were healed because of the word that was spoken over him. And he is the same today as he ever was. And so today, just the same, we can speak a word of healing, and we can release the freedom into people's lives, and people can be set free from anything. Those that are watching online, even right where you are, we had a few weeks ago, the Lord gave me a word that somebody had a problem with their instep, with their foot, and Angela Penn was at home, and she said her foot was completely healed right where she was. So it's simple as a word of healing, because it is contained in the covenant that we have with God. Amen?
Amen. If, how many people here today, you need a physical healing in your body? You need healing in your body. Lift your hand. You need a physical healing in your body. All right. I want you to come forward and we're going to pray for you.
Yeah.
The scripture says that the believer will lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. They will recover. Jesus said, whatever things that you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it and you will have it. Whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it and you will have it. How many people here today have a financial need in your life? You're facing a financial situation. Raise your hand. Praise the Lord. I want you, if you're facing a financial need, I want you to come for prayer right now. Whatever it is, that, let me tell you, this is the time where we call upon the Lord and we pray for His help, for healing, for provision, for protection, whatever it is. And I don't want you to miss out on this. I don't want you to think, well, that's for someone else. No, it's for you. If you need healing, I'm talking to you. If you have a financial need, I'm talking to you. If you have something going on in your family and you need positive, I need God to help and restore. I'm facing this obstacle. I'm talking to you today. I want you to come as we sing this final song. We're going to pray for you because you know what? When you pray, God answers. Amen. And I want to pray for everyone who's watching this online. Wherever you may be, make sure you don't stand in front of that camera. There you go. Those people online, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, will you agree with us, church? We pray for everyone who's watching this today, whatever they may be facing, those who need healing in their body. Lord, let your healing power right now flow through their body. In the name of Jesus, we command all sickness. We command every disease. Go in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, for those who have financial need. We pray that you would supply and meet every need supernaturally, Father. Thank you that you are our source of supply. We pray, Lord, for restoration. We pray for divine protection. We pray, Father, right now that you would just supply and meet every need. Answer the desire of every person's heart, Father. Whatever it is they're calling on you, we stand in agreement with them. In Jesus' name, we call it done. We say that it is done in the name of Jesus. And I want you, if you're in this place today, you're here in person, come forward right now. Our prayer team, our prayer partners are here. We're going to pray. Come on, let's pray. Believe God for people to be healed. Let's pray and believe God for provision. Let's pray and believe God for miracles. We serve a supernatural God, and He loves to do supernatural things. And all you got to do is ask Him. The Bible says the reason you don't have what you need is because you don't ask God. All you got to do is ask. Ask and you will receive. That's what Jesus said. Amen. So we are going to sing this final song. Come forward if you're here for prayer. Come on right now. Don't wait. Come on forward. We're going to sing the song called No Other Name. And how many of you know there's no other name beside the name of Jesus? There's no other name that is worthy to be praised beside the name of Jesus. It's the name above every name. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue declare He is Lord. We declare it today. Say, Jesus, you are Lord. You're Lord in this place. Say, Jesus, you're Lord over America. Say, Jesus, you're Lord in my life. Jesus, you're Lord in my finances. You're Lord over every part of my life. Let's lift Him up. Let's sing it out together with all you got today. Sing it. There is a name.
One name holds weight above them all.
Yes.
His fame outlasts the earth He formed.
His praise.
His praise. Greatest.
Let's sing it out, church. The earth will shake.
Here we go. Ready? Here we go.
The earth will shake and tremble before Him. Chains will break as heaven and earth sing. Holy is the name. Holy is the name of Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Come on, give the Lord praise today. Will you put your hands together? Come on, give Him praise today. Give Him a shout. Get excited today. I can't hear you. Clap those hands. There is no other name beside the name of Jesus. No other
name. Praise God. And didn't this worship team do an awesome job? Such a good job. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. Welcome to each and every one of you coming to worship with us. Won't you just turn and greet someone, tell them how good they look today. You may be seated. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to everyone that is here in service with us today. It's good to see your faces. And we welcome to all our viewers that are watching us from all over. The people that watch us from all over the world every week. And we're so glad that you've joined us today. We especially want to greet our Ascend Church members. We miss you. If you haven't been back yet, we do understand, but we just send our love and tell you that it's not the same without you. We look forward to seeing you again soon. And I want to welcome anyone who's a first-time guest in our service here today. We love having visitors, don't we? And so if you are here for the first time, we don't want to embarrass you in any way. We're not going to get you up here to say something. We just like to hand you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? Anyone for the first time, God bless you. Welcome, welcome. Our ushers will get a gift bag to you. If they didn't see your hand, just wave and they'll get it to you. In that gift bag's a couple of things, and one is a card that says guest. We actually just take a moment and fill that out, and that just gives Pastor an opportunity to call you and find out how you enjoyed the service. But we always love to meet our visitors and actually all our members in the lobby after the service. So if you're visiting, please make a point to stop and say hi to us there. There are four different platforms on which you can watch the service, which is phenomenal. I just love it, and it's getting better every day, and it's a great tool to use to reach out to other people. But first, the first way is on our website, that's ascendchurch.us, or on our mobile app, which if you don't have it, it's real simple. One of us can just help you download it. On YouTube, there's Ascend Church Jupiter that you can watch there, and on Facebook. So right now, we've just started the Facebook Live. If you want to go ahead and share that from our mobile app, everything on our mobile app is shareable, which is a blessing. So if you want to go ahead and share that, it's a way to reach out with the gospel. And those that are watching on the live stream, just comment where you're watching from, send us prayer requests, whatever it is. And if you want to give online, you can go ahead and give. There's a link right there on Facebook to give, or on our mobile app, there's a button to give, and same on our website. So thank you for doing that. And then just to mention that we have a Spanish translation, which is great. I mean, one week we don't have it, and next week we do, and now it's Danny at the back is doing our Spanish translation every service. So good. And so they are literally translating as Pastor Steve is preaching. So if someone is in the service, if there's anyone in our service that needs a Spanish translation, all you need is a smartphone and some earphones, and you can just listen to it in Spanish. Those that are watching on our website or on our app, you can watch it in Spanish. So that's a great, that's good to be able to share it with people who may not understand English. And if there is anyone in here that needs a Spanish translation today? No, we're all good, but we do it for the website anyway. And just lastly, I want to mention our purpose. We have four main purposes in our church. The first one is that you would know God. The second one is that you would find freedom. The third one is that you would discover your purpose. And the fourth one is that you would make a difference with your life. Amen. I just want to thank all of those who came and prayed before the service. We pray from 9:15 to 9:45. And I tell you what, this morning we had a pre-service service. It was powerful. We not only prayed, which really does something in the service. It changes the atmosphere. It just creates an expectation of what God's going to do. And Tom had a word, and Dolores had a word, and it was just like a real powerful time. So come and join us sometime before the service at 9:15 to pray. And our dear friend, Mike Francine, come here, my brother, who is so quiet and would not, well, he's quiet. Here he's quiet, but he'd get him on a stage, and he would never blow his own trumpet, but he is one of the world's greatest evangelists of our time. You don't even know. He has stood on platforms. I'm not talking about being a guest. He has had crusades with T.L. Osborne and Reinhard Bonnke, every name you can name in the church world that has done mighty things. Mike has ministered with him. He's led 103, we don't want to exaggerate here, spoken to presidents throughout the world. You would be here for a week listening to the stories. And anyway, all that to say, Mike wanted to say a few words.
Thank you. You know, it was, this next Sunday is National Pastors Appreciation Day. So a few days ago, I went to Pastor Steve and I said, Steve, I'd really like to share something about that. And he said, I'll tell you what, Mike, you cut your hair and wear a pair of pants, not sweatpants, you got 5 minutes. I've been growing my hair out for a year, so look at, this is how important it was for me to, now, I love Pastor Steve. They've become very, very close friends of mine, and I've been staying with him now since January. Most of the time, I travel some, and one of the things I love about Steve, he's the second most handsome man in the whole church. People say, well, who's the most handsome? When I go out of town, he takes over number one. Come on, that was a great amen opportunity. You know, T.L. Osborne was my close friend and mentor for many years. And T.L. said this many times. He said, Mike, you cannot honor God without honoring his servants. You cannot honor God without honoring his servants. Next week is Pastor's Appreciation Day. And I love what it says in Ephesians, that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints and the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, when you stand up here as a pastor, it's easy, as the lights are shining on, it's easy to see the faults of the men and women of God. But you've got to understand, God gave you a gift in this couple right here. And next week, as Pastor Preacher, we should appreciate it. Oh, come on. Come on, dear Jesus. Is this microphone not working? Daniel, what's going on here? Next week is Pastor's Appreciation. And so this week, I just thought, just let me share a few words. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12, it says, and we urge you, brethren, to know those who labor among you and are over you and admonish you and esteem them very highly for your work's sake. Just knowing, you know, I've known that. How long have we known each other? 15, 20 years? 20 years? Oh, you guys are getting old. And but being with them most of this year, I've gotten to know them in a different way, and we've become very, very good, very close friends. And when I watch them, I've spoken hundreds of churches in this country, I've preached in thousands around the world, and besides our crusades, and I see the heart that people have. I can tell you this right now, that these pastors have the greatest heart for you of any pastor I know. Now I know hundreds of them, if not thousands of them. I hear them. I get up in the morning. I'll get up in the morning at 6 in the morning. Actually, I'll go to bed at 6 in the morning. And sometimes I'll hear Jill downstairs in the living room just praying for you guys, praying in the spirit. I hear Steve throughout the days praying in the spirit. He doesn't just talk about things. He actually does it. Know those who labor among you. You know what? With this whole pandemic and this whole crazy, chaotic media storm of everything that's going on, most of the churches closed. 60% of the churches in this country today are still not open. I thank God that you had pastors that stood on his word and said, we will never close the doors of these churches. They never cease to speak great of you guys. They never cease to praise. I hear them all the time sitting at their house, or we go out somewhere. I hear them all the time talk about how great you people are. But one of the things that's really impressed me is Steve's preparation work for the Sunday message. He gets in Tuesday. They usually take most of the day off. I mean, Monday, they take most of the day off. Tuesday, I don't see Steve. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I know I'm not going to see him. Thank you, Jesus, for that break. Because he buries himself in his office. He's seeking God for a message for this Sunday. And he prepares it for hours and hours. He prays over it. He works on it. He must, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I won't see him. Friday, he pops out, and then I have to behold his face. But anyways, and then he goes back, and he works on it some more, and works on it some more. You don't understand, so know those. But a lot of people look up into the church. For my first closing, he said I had 5 minutes. For my first closing, a lot of people think, oh, look at, I'd love to be a pastor. So easy. You stand up for 2 or 3 hours, and that's the end of it. Let me tell you a few facts, and these are statistical facts. Last week, I had a good friend of mine at a church of 2,500 people. I spoke for him a couple of years ago, committed suicide at the height of ministry. Listen, here's some of the facts of what goes on. 7,000 churches close every year. 1,700 people leave the ministry permanently every month. 72% of pastors work 55 to 75 hours a week. 80% of pastors say that the ministry is negatively affecting their families. 53% of pastors are unable to keep up with their bills. 70% of pastors battle with depression. 71% of the pastors feel burned out. 70% of pastors say they do not have someone they consider a close friend. 84% of pastors deeply desire a close friend they can trust and confide in. And this pastor's not one of them, because he's got me for sure. I don't know some of you others. Only 20 years later, are still in ministry. Only 10% of pastors retire as pastors. This is not an easy job. So we have pastors' appreciation. And I'm just going to read this last scripture. Now to you Philippians, who also, that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have an all in abound. I have full, having received Epaphroditus, the things that I sent to you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. When you came in this morning, there was an envelope on your seat. It's for pastor's appreciation. There's a card inside. Some of you today, you can fill out the little note and you can slip something special in there. I don't want to hear any change rattling in those buckets. This is pastor's appreciation. But most of you, I want you to go and prepare something this week to come back next week on National Pastor's Appreciation Day. Prepare something special, something that challenges your faith, and come back and show your pastors. It says, know those who labor among you. I know this couple. I've been there since January to travel once in a while. I know this couple, and they are worthy of double honor. Come on, would you stand to your feet? Please stand to your feet. And I know that many of you are watching online. I want to challenge those of you watching online. You can give something special in the offerings as you've been so generous, but you can give something, bring something special next week for pastor's appreciation. And just tell Pastor Steve and Pastor Joe that you love them. T.L. Osborne said, you cannot honor God without honoring his servants. Let's give them a hand clap as we honor pastors. Do something special this week.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. Mike asked me if he could do that. Most years, I don't think we've done Pastor's Appreciation. But thank you so much, Mike. Lord, we thank you for your goodness in our life. We thank you, Lord, that you are so faithful. We know that every good thing in our life comes from you, Lord. And we know that you have a good plan for our life. Your word says that you said in your word that you have a plan to prosper us and give us hope and give us a future. You have plans for good, not for evil. We thank you that you are a good God, Lord. And Lord, I thank you today that as I speak forth your word, that you help me, you anoint me, you speak through me. I thank you for touching every life, every person hearing this, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that they receive revelation. I thank you that faith rises in our heart, Lord, to follow you and fulfill your plan and purpose for our life in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad to see you today. I'm glad you're here today. God bless you, everybody. I'm so glad you're here today. All those watching online, I want to speak to you about just do it. Say, just do it. Tell your neighbor, just do it. Isn't that Nike's slogan? Is that their slogan? Just do it. Well, that's what I want to speak about today. And in John chapter 2, in verse number 1, it said there was a wedding feast in the Galilean village of Cana, and the mother of Jesus was there, and Jesus and his disciples, they were all invited to the banquet. But with so many guests in attendance, it said they ran out of wine. And when Mary realized it, she came to him and she said, "They have no wine. Can't you do something about it?" And Jesus replied, "My dear one, don't you understand that if I do this, it won't change anything for you, but it will change everything for me. My hour of unveiling my power has not yet come." Mary then went to the servants and she told them, "Whatever Jesus tells you, make sure that you do it." Say, whatever Jesus tells me, I must make sure that I do it. Just do it. And it says there were 6 stone water pots standing nearby. They were meant to be used for the Jewish washing rules. And each one of these pots held about 20 gallons or more. 6 pots, 20 gallons. 120 gallons in total, right? Wait, you see what's going to happen. So Jesus came to the servants and he told them, "Fill the pots with water right up to the very brim." And then he said, "Now fill your pitchers and take them to the master of ceremonies." And they poured out their pitcher for the master of ceremonies to sample. When they did it, the water became wine. The water was turned into wine. And when he tasted the water that became wine, the master of the ceremonies was impressed. Although he didn't know where the wine had come from, but the servants knew where it came from. He called the bridegroom over and he said to him, "Every host serves his best wine first, and then he serves his wine of poor quality. But you, my friend, you've reserved the most exquisite wine until now." Now, this was Jesus' first miracle, turning the water into wine, turned 120 gallons of water was turned into wine. That's about 480 bottles of wine. That's all I'm going to say about that. It happened because they did what Jesus told them to do. Say this, when I obey, miracles happen. One day Jesus was preaching to the crowds. He was standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And he noticed 2 empty boats nearby, and the fishermen were cleaning their nets. They just got back. They'd been fishing all night long. And Jesus stepped into one of the boats, and he asked the owner, whose name was Simon, who would become Simon Peter, to push the boat off into the water. And Jesus preached from the boat, using the water as a natural amplifier, because that's what water does. And when he'd finished preaching, he said to the fishermen in Luke 5, verse 4, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And it says, Simon answered and he said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." Amen. And when they'd done this, they caught a great number of fish. And their net was breaking. They caught so many fish, their net couldn't contain it. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats. So they began to sink. Amen. Bruce, you ever caught so many fish, your boat started sinking?
2 or 3 boats.
Well, I believe it's going to happen. Now, how many of you agree what Jesus asked them to do? It didn't make any sense. Because they'd already been fishing all night. I mean, what would you think, Bruce, if you went out fishing all night, you didn't catch anything, and I came by and I said, hey, Bruce, go out again. You think, are you kidding me? We've been out all night. We're washing the nets. There's no fish. But thank God they obeyed. Thank God they did what Jesus told them to do. Because when you obey, blessings follow. Say, when I obey, blessings follow. See, sometimes God asks us to do things that don't make sense. It doesn't seem logical, doesn't fit into our budget, doesn't line up with our schedule. God, you want me to go back to college? I'm 40 years old. God, you want me to give them a gift? I was saving those funds for my own dreams. God, you want me to leave this secure position that I've had for years and go start my own business? God, you want me to give $1,000 to the television ministry at Ascend Church? I could pay this bill instead. That's what happened last week. One of our members, I'm not going to say who because he asked me not to, but last Sunday, they were here in church, and while they were sitting in church, the Lord spoke to his wife, and she felt the Lord say in her heart, I want you to give four times your normal tithe today. Now, their normal tithe would have been $250. That was their normal tithe. So she knew the Lord was telling her to give $1,000. And she turned to her husband and she told him what the Lord told her. And he felt that too, which was amazing because this is before Bruce came up and he told how that the Lord had spoken to him and Debbie to give $1,000 to the TV ministry. And he asked me, Pastor Steve, I want to say a few words. I want to encourage and challenge the church. And so he came up and said a few words. Now, this is before you said anything. The Lord spoke to them before you said a word. So they obeyed, and they just did it. Amen. Then he called me this week. And he said, guess what? I'm going to give a testimony. He said, first of all, when I came into work this week, I had a $1,000 bonus that I wasn't expecting. Secondly, so God gave him back the $1,000. Secondly, he said, every week I get a projection of what I'm expected to earn on that Friday. And he said, usually it's around $2,000 a week. I usually make about $2,000 a week. He said, this week I made $4,000. And he said, guess what? Next week's looking good too. Now, let me tell you, family, too often we overanalyze and we debate what God is telling us. We only look at it in the natural and we end up making excuses. And often we talk ourselves out of what God is telling you. But if you're going to reach your highest potential, you've got to have this bold obedience. It means you obey even when you don't fully understand. God doesn't always tell you everything. God doesn't say, now listen, you give $1,000 to the TV ministry, when you get to work on Monday, you're going to give an extra $1,000 and you're going to make double. God doesn't do that. He just says, do it, and then you've got to obey. You just do it, even when it doesn't make sense. That's what faith is all about. See, if you can understand it all, and you've got the time, and you've got the money, and you've got the connections, it doesn't really take very much faith. Faith is trusting that God will do what he's telling you to do. Because God will ask you to do things that sometimes seem far out, unusual, not very practical. But with every act of obedience, there is a blessing attached. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 says this, it shall come to pass that if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I'm commanding you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Why? Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, there's two parts to obeying God's voice. Number one, the first way you obey God's voice is by obeying what he already said in the Word of God, his written word, the Bible. That's God speaking to you. The second way that you obey the voice of the Lord is by what God speaks to you in your own spirit, down in your own heart. Because the scripture says, Jesus said, give, and it will be given unto you. That's in the Bible. But then you may be sitting in church today and the Lord says, I want you to give $1,000 today. That's God speaking to you personally. Someone said, Pastor Steve, I hope God doesn't tell me that. I hope God doesn't tell me to give it. Remember, anytime God tells you to do anything, He has a blessing in store. Yes. When you do what you know down in your heart God wants you to do, a blessing will follow. God rewards obedience. In Isaiah 1 verse 19, the scripture says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. God wants you to eat good. And some of you are doing that, I can tell. You know, God doesn't just want you to eat good. He wants you to wear the good. He wants you to live in the good. He wants you to drive the good. God wants the best for you. In fact, if you read the Living Bible, it says, if you will only let me help you, if you will only obey, then I will make you rich. If you only will obey me, God says, I'll make you rich. But if you keep on turning your backs and refusing to listen to me, you'll be killed by your enemies. Ah, the Lord has spoken. When you obey God, blessings follow. When you don't obey God, you miss that blessings. If you read the Old Testament, one thing that stands out to me, you read through the Old Testament, you will see that there's a theme, there's a pattern. Whenever God's people, the children of Israel, whenever they obeyed God, God gave them victory over their enemies. But the moment that they disobeyed God and they stubbornly kept going away from God, I mean, it happened over and over and over. It's all throughout the Old Testament. They go away from God. They go away from God's commands. They disobey God and their enemies would defeat them. In fact, the children of Israel ended up being taken captive and spending 70 years in captivity in Babylon because of their continued disobedience. God rewards obedience. Say, obedience brings blessings, brings miracles. Amen. In John chapter 9, Jesus saw a man who was blind from birth. And Jesus spat on the ground and he made some mud. And then he spread the mud on the blind man's eyes and he told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Jesus could just as easily have healed the man on the spot. He did that many times. He could have opened his eyes right there and then. But obedience activates God's power. And he put the ball back into the blind man's court because really what he said to him in effect, he said, if you want to be healed, you're going to have to do something that doesn't make sense. Something that is not logical. You're going to have to show me you trust me and go wash off this mud in the pool of Siloam. Now, the blind man, he could have just wiped that mud off and thought, listen, I'm not going to do that. That doesn't make any sense. That's just a waste of time. I mean, I was blind, but now I'm blind and dirty. He could have just shrugged it off. He could have thought, man, I've got all these disadvantages. I can't even make it down to the pool. I'm blind. But instead of making excuses, instead of talking himself out of it, he decided to just do it. And he went down to the pool and he washed off the mud and immediately he could see, his eyes were open and immediately he was healed. In 2 Kings chapter 5, there's a story of a man named Naaman. He was the commander of the Syrian army. He was an important man. He was an honorable man, but he was also a leper. He had leprosy. And one day, on one of the raids, the Syrian raids, they captured a young Israeli girl, and she became a servant in Naaman's house. And she told her mistress about the prophet Elisha back in Israel, and she said, he can heal my master, Naaman. And so Naaman goes off to Israel to find this prophet Elisha. And in 2 Kings chapter 5, it says, Naaman went with his horses and his chariots, and he waited at the door of Elisha's house. And it says, but Elisha sent a messenger out to him with this message. Go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River, and then your skin will be restored, and you will be healed of your leprosy. Now, the Bible says Naaman became angry. And he stalked away. He said, I thought he would at least come to meet me. I can't believe I've traveled all this distance. Does he know who I am? I'm the commander of the Syrian army. I traveled all this distance to meet him. He can't even come out to the door. He sends a messenger. And he says, I expected he'd come and wave his hand over the leprosy and call on the name of the Lord his God, and he would heal me. Aren't the rivers of Damascus, the Abania and the Pharpar, better than any rivers in Israel? Why shouldn't I wash in them and be healed? So Naaman turned and he went away in a rage. It says his officers tried to reason with him. They said, sir, if the prophet had told you to do something very difficult, wouldn't you have done it? So you should certainly obey him when he says simply go wash and be cured. Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times as the man of God had instructed him, and his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed of that leprosy. Now, here's the key. The healing was not in the water. The healing was in the obedience. When you obey, miracles happen. When you obey, dreams come to pass. When you obey, blessings follow. When you obey, problems turn around in your life. Amen?
Amen.
I wonder how many miracles we would see if we would simply do what God is telling us to do. Are you talking yourself out of something because it's not practical, because it doesn't make any sense to you? Oh, Pastor Steve, I know I should volunteer. I feel the Lord telling me I should volunteer, but I'm just so busy. I know I should be tithing, but I'm struggling. I know I should invite my neighbor to come to church, but I'm shy. I know I shouldn't hang around with these friends, but I don't want to be lonely, Pastor Steve. I know I should get out of this job where I'm not going any place, but at least I'm comfortable. I know I shouldn't be living with my boyfriend, but he doesn't want to marry me, and I don't want to be on my own, and plus I can't afford to live on my own. Well, let me tell you, I encourage you to just do whatever God is telling you to do. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, just to those, you know, we live in a world today where even, you know, many Christians don't seem to understand that God doesn't want us to live with someone who's we're not married to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says, it is good to abstain from sexual relations, but because there's so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman should have her own husband. The husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. Now, you never thought you're going to hear that in church on Sunday morning, but I am preaching the Bible to you. That is the Bible. People want to hear about sex everywhere else, but never in church. This is where you should hear about it, because God, the one who made it, and he knows just how it works. And let me tell you, God's pretty good when it comes to sex. People rather go to the internet. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 says this, run from sexual sin. No other sin clearly affects the body as this one does, for sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Quit putting it off. Just do it. Obey God. Let me tell you, if you'll have this bold obedience, you'll see God's favor. You'll see God's blessing in a new way in your life. When Joshua and the Israelites were about to take the promised land, they were going to take the first city, and it was Jericho. That was the first city that they took in the promised land. And they had to cross the Jordan River. And God said to them that he would open up the Jordan River, but they had to first get their feet wet. And they had to touch they had to put their feet in the river, and then it's going to part. And in Joshua chapter 3, verse 13, it says, the priest will carry the ark of the Lord, the Lord of all the earth, and as soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like an invisible wall. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the ark of the covenant, they went ahead of them, and it says it was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. Just so someone says, well, you know, it was that time of year, the water was very low, because that's what I've heard about the parting of the Red Sea. Well, did you know, Pastor Steve, that a certain time of year, the Red Sea, there's a certain place where it's very shallow, only 6 inches. And so that's, it wasn't a miracle. It was actually a great bigger miracle, because God drowned the whole Egyptian army in 6 inches of water. It was harvest season. The Jordan was overflowing its banks. As soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, what happened? It says the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed near the town of Jericho. The river parted, stood up like an invisible wall, and they just walked on through the Jordan River. Now, they could have sat back and they could have said, you know what? As soon as God opens the river, then we're going to walk through it. It doesn't make sense to do it now. Look at the rivers overflowing. It doesn't make any sense. Let me tell you, it happened when they took the step of faith and they started walking toward that water. What is that? That's bold obedience. Why did God tell them that? Why did he tell them that? In Joshua chapter 5, it says in verse 1, when the nations west of the Jordan River, the Amorites and the Canaanites who lived along the Mediterranean coast, when they heard that the Lord had dried up the Jordan River so the people of Israel could cross, their courage melted away completely. They were paralyzed with fear. They heard, did you hear about those Israelites? The river Jordan parted. They're on their way. They became afraid. Then the Lord told Joshua to set aside a day to circumcise the entire male population of Israel. It was the second time in Israel's history that that was done. Moses did it, but that was many, many years ago, like 40 years ago. So the Lord instructed them to manufacture flint knives for this purpose. The place where the circumcision took place was called, I don't even think I can say that, the Hill of the Foreskins. That's in the Bible again. It's in the Bible. For it says the reason for the second circumcision was that although when Israel left Egypt, all the men who'd been old enough to bear arms had been circumcised, that entire generation had died during the years in the wilderness. So none of the boys born since that time had been circumcised, for the nation of Israel had traveled back and forth across the wilderness for 40 years until all the men who'd been old enough to bear arms when they left Egypt were dead. They had not obeyed the Lord. That's talking about the previous generation. They had not obeyed the Lord, and he vowed he wouldn't let them enter the promised land as he promised Israel, a land that flowed with milk and honey. Why didn't they enter the promised land? Because they would not obey God. Now, why did God tell them to circumcise the men? Because circumcision was a sign of their covenant with God, which meant God would fight for them. Look what happens just a few verses later in Joshua 5. As Joshua was sizing up the city of Jericho, a man appeared nearby with a drawn sword. And Joshua strode over to him and he demanded, "Are you a friend or are you a foe?" "I am the commander in chief of the Lord's army," he replied. And Joshua fell to the ground and worshipped him and said, "Give me your commands." Who do you suppose that was? That was the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Take off your shoes," the commander told him, "for this is holy ground." Right after they obey God and they circumcise all the men as a sign they're in covenant, that God fights their battles, Jesus shows up, the commander of the Lord's armies, to come and fight on their behalf. He was coming to fight for them. Look what happens next in Joshua chapter 6. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go in and no one was allowed to go out. And the Lord said to Joshua, "I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days, and 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing the horns." And it says, "When you hear the priests give one long blast of the ram's horn, then have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town." Now, how many of you know that's exactly what happened? We went to Jericho on our Israel tour, right, Abel? 2019, we went to the city of Jericho. And we saw, you know what's amazing about the walls of Jericho? The walls of Jericho fell straight down into the ground. Straight down, and they just walked right into the town. And you know how it happened? Because they obeyed what God said. It didn't make sense. Walk around the city once a day for 6 days. Don't say anything. On the 7th day, walk around 7 times. On the 7th time, give the greatest shout you can give, and the wall's going to come down. That's exactly what happened. But here's my point. What if they didn't obey what God told them to do? What if they hadn't obeyed? It wouldn't have happened. Verse 17 of Joshua 6. "Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and the others in her house will be spared because she protected our spies. Do not take any of the things that are set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed. You will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Everything made from silver, gold, bronze is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury." Now, Jericho was the first city that they took of the promised land. And God wanted that to be a tithe. He wanted everything taken to go to the sanctuary of the Lord, it was set apart. He said, don't take any of the silver. Don't take any of the gold. It's all set apart for God. God wanted everything in the city as a tithe. But there was someone who didn't do it. There was someone who disobeyed. The Bible says in Joshua 7, there was a sin among the Israelites. God's command to destroy everything except that which was reserved for the Lord's treasury was disobeyed. For Achan took some of the loot for himself, and the Lord was very angry with the entire nation of Israel because of this. Joshua sends some men to spy out the next town they're on their way to. It's called Ai. And it was a small town. They come back. They say, listen, it's a small town. We don't need many men, just 2,000 or 3,000. That's all we need, 2,000 or 3,000 men to take the town. It's a small town. But they go and they are defeated by the men of Ai. They actually have to run and flee. And Joshua, he goes before God. He can't understand it. He's starting to question God. Lord, why did this happen? And the Lord says to him in Joshua 7 verse 10, are you still following me? The Lord said to Joshua, get up off your face. Israel has sinned and disobeyed my commandment, has taken loot when I said it was not to be taken, and they've not only taken it, they've lied about it, and they've hidden it among their belongings. That is why the people of Israel are being defeated. That is why your men are running from the enemies. They are cursed. I will not stay with you any longer unless you completely rid yourself of this sin. So what did they do? They take Achan and his whole family, and they stone them to death. These animals, everything he owns. They stone him and they burn him. You can thank God you're living in today. Aren't you glad you're not living in those Old Testament days? But in the same way, you're not going to be stoned and burned. But let me tell you, if you want to make it into your promised land, you've got to obey what God is telling you to do. You've got to have this bold obedience. You're not always going to understand what God is doing. God is not always logical. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Who do we think we are to argue with the God who created everything? We're going to debate with God and tell him why we can't do what he's telling us to do. I want you to take this in the right sense, but sometimes you've got to turn your mind off, because if you overanalyze it and look at it only in the natural, you'll have a hard time obeying God. Because faith doesn't work in your head. Faith is in your heart. Are you with me? Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. And the Passion Bible says, trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Listen to your heart. Down in your heart, you'll know the right thing to do. That's where God leads you, is in your heart. In your head, you'll have 1,000 excuses, 1,000 reasons why it's not going to work out, but you've got to turn your mind off, and you've got to listen to what God is saying to you in your heart. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's what we did. I was 27 years old. The Lord called me to go start a church in Cape Town. We were living in Johannesburg. I was working for Pastor Theo, and Pastor Bev had a great job. I love my job. I love working with Pastor Theo and Pastor Bev. I didn't know a single person in Cape Town. But we sensed the Lord was leading us to leave Johannesburg and leave everybody, our family, everything we knew, and go to a place where we knew nobody and start a church. So I prayed. And I said, Lord, if this is you, I believe it's you, but I want you to confirm it to me. I want you to speak to Pastor Theo. I'm not going to tell him. I want you to tell him, because that'll be a confirmation for me. And it'll also, I want him to know that this is you. Because I'd seen so many guys leave Pastor Theo's church. 23 men left his church and went down the street and started another church and then tried to fill their church by inviting people from Pastor Theo's church. And I said, I'm not doing that. I want nothing to do with that, because not one of them was successful. And not one. So we prayed, Lord, speak to Pastor Theo. And 4 weeks later, Pastor Theo came to me. And he says, Steve, I was praying for you. The Lord spoke to me, and he told me, it's time for you to step into the next phase of your ministry. I said, what do you think God's telling me to do? He said, I believe you're supposed to start a church. I said, where do you think we should start the church? Now, I knew. I'm just seeing how much he knows. Where do you think? He said, well, the Lord never told me where you should go, but the first thing came to my mind is Cape Town. that was exactly how it happened. He knew God was calling us. We knew God was calling us. And we went out, even though I said, God, it doesn't make sense to me. I'm going to take a step of faith. I know you know what is best for our life. And we stepped out and sold everything and went, took our three kids and went to Cape Town, didn't know a single person, and started the church. And within, and that church, I'm in Tenny right now, that church just exploded. I mean, show me those pictures. We started the church in Cape Town in 1991. I was 27 years old. There, we started with the Signs and Wonders Convention. That was me, and look at Pastor Jill's hair. That's a real 80s hairstyle. That's where we opened. That's Cape Town. We opened our church. We had a convention, a miracle crusade at that place. That was the last night of the miracle crusade. We had 500 people receive Jesus. We had hundreds of people healed. We had miracles. There's Pastor Theo praying for that man. His leg was one leg was shorter than the other. The leg grew out right in front of our eyes. And that's our first church above the little value food market. And that's how it looked like. We'd have services like that. Couldn't even find an aisle. And we'd have two services on Sunday packed like that. I mean, thank God no one showed up from the city department. And then finally, 18 months later, we moved into this warehouse, turned it into a church, and we ended up running three services like that. Ended up with thousands of people after a few years. When you obey God, blessings follow. When the Lord spoke to me, to Jill and I, to leave South Africa and move to America and start a church here, I felt it so strongly in my heart. But in my mind, it didn't make any sense to me. I thought, well, this doesn't make sense, but I'm just going to take a step of faith. I know you know what's best for my life. And people told me, I had pastors tell me, you'll end up losing both churches. But for 10 years, I traveled between Cape Town and South Africa and Florida. I went back 5-6 times a year. I did 50-60 trips in 10 years. Then we handed the church over to Pastor Allen and Janine Bagham in 2010. Now, what I found is as I stepped into the water, as I did what God was telling me to do, as I got my feet wet, so to speak, that's when the waters parted. That's when everything just fell into place. Everything was like waiting for us. See, some of you waiting for the waters to part, and then you're going to take a step of faith. But you've got to take a step of faith and do what God is telling you to do, and then the waters that will part. You see, it's your obedience that causes the waters to part. You're waiting on God, and God's waiting on you. Because he's told you what to do, but you're debating him. If you'll do what you know God is asking you to do, your obedience will activate God's favor. It will activate God's blessing. It will activate miracles in your life. In Psalm 25, verse 12, it says, who are they that live in the holy fear of God? You will show them the right path to take. Then prosperity and favor will be their portion. When you follow God's path and you do what God is telling you in your heart to do, you'll see favor. You'll see prosperity. John 12, 26, Jesus said, if you truly follow me as my disciple, my Father will shower his favor upon your life. Do you know when you follow God's plan for your life and you do what God is telling you in your heart, God will shower you with favor. Much of what happens along the way in our life are simply tests where God is seeing if you trust him. God is seeing if you will obey him. Let me tell you how God tests you. He asks you to do something, and he sees if you'll obey. Will you obey even when you don't understand it? Will you step out in faith even when it doesn't make sense? I remember when we left Johannesburg to go start our church in Cape Town, Pastor Theo said he agreed that he wanted to pay our salary for 1 year to help us financially. We thank God for that. But we still needed money. Because we had to rent a building for the church. We had to buy chairs. We had to buy a sound system. We had to buy everything. And so we felt the Lord telling us to give away all the money that we had. We sold our home. And all the money that we had from that, we felt God told us to give it all. So we gave everything we had. And I can tell you right now, God has blessed me 100 times more. God's given me back 100 times more than what we gave. When God asks you to do something, I'm telling you now, just do it. Say, just do it. Come on, tell your neighbor, just do it. If you talk yourself out of it, you will miss the blessing that God has for you. How many times have we talked ourselves out of something we knew God wanted us to do? We knew we were supposed to call that friend. We knew God wanted us to encourage them, invite them to come to church. We knew we were supposed to give someone a gift, but we got busy. And we thought, well, you know, Lord, it looks like they're doing okay. They're good as much as I do. Maybe next time. I wonder what we missed out on. I wonder what God couldn't release, because when you obey, a blessing is always attached to it. When you have this bold obedience, there's no telling where God's going to take you. When you don't, You don't argue with God. You don't debate with God. You don't reason it out. You don't make excuses. You just do what God is telling you to do. You can't imagine the doors that God is going to open, not just for you, but for your children. I can't tell you today. Next week I can tell you. Can I tell them next week? Not today, right? No, I can't tell them today. I'm going to tell you something next week that is happening in my children's life that is absolutely astounding. I'm blown away. I won't say anything more. Let me tell you, we can all obey when it's easy. When it makes sense, when it's logical, when it doesn't take any extra effort. Yes, yeah, Steve, you know, I'll go to church when I can. I'll give if I can. That really doesn't take much faith. What about when it's out of the ordinary? What about when God tells you to give something that's way above what you think you can afford, or way above, like four times your normal tithe? When God asks you not just to go to church, but go by, pick up that couple that's struggling and bring them to church with you every week. Are you going to say, but Lord, you know, I got a full-time job. I'm raising these kids. I'm busy. They live 20 minutes away from me. I'm going to have to get up early. It's going to cost me more money in gas. I don't know if I can do that. They may want to come to lunch with me, God. What am I going to do? I'm not buying them lunch as well. Just do what God is telling you to do. Because when God asks you to do something that takes sacrifice, something that's out of the ordinary for you, it's because He wants to release blessings in your life that are out of the ordinary. When you radically obey, you'll be radically blessed. That's what happened in the scripture to Isaac. There was a famine in the land. There'd been a drought for many years. No water, no food. People were struggling to survive. And God told Isaac to take a step of faith and sow his seed in that land. It didn't make any sense because there's no way to water the crop. Isaac could have said, Lord, you know, have you seen the conditions lately? Have you checked the weather report? Don't you realize it hasn't rained in years? Nothing's going to grow. He could have looked at it just in the natural, logical way and talked himself out of it. But Isaac had this bold obedience. The Bible says in Genesis 12:2, Isaac sowed seed in that land. He sowed seed in a time of famine. I can imagine his friends saying, Isaac, what in the world are you doing? Don't you realize nothing's going to grow during a drought? What are you doing, Isaac? But he didn't talk himself out of it. He just kept sowing. What was he doing? He was sowing a radical seed. What happened? He reaped a radical harvest. The scripture goes on and it says, "In that he received in the same year 100 times as much as he had planted, and the Lord favored him with blessings." Now, let me tell you, I ain't a farmer, but I guarantee you, you cannot plant the first crop and reap 100 times in the same year. I don't think that can happen. Any farmers out there that can correct me on that one? Well, you just have to take my word for it. I'm telling you, it was supernatural what happened. 100 times as much. Isaac could have held on to those seeds for years, waiting for the conditions to be just perfect, and nothing would have happened. Do you know the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, he who observes the wind and waits for all the conditions to be favorable will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. It says, as you know not what is the way of the wind, or how the spirit comes in the bones of the womb of a pregnant woman, even so you do not know the work of God who does all. You don't know. Let me tell you, God's much bigger than our little peanut brain. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening withhold not your hand, for you know not which shall prosper, whether this or that, or whether both alike will be good. It goes on in Proverbs 11:24. It says, there is one who scatters and yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. It says the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will be watered himself. Isaac understood this principle, that the power is not in the seed. The power is in the obedience. That's when miracles happen. When you do what God is telling you to do, the conditions don't have to be perfect. The economy doesn't have to be booming for you to be blessed. You don't have to have the most education, the most talent. In fact, all the odds could be against you. But let me tell you, if God is for you and God asks you to do something and you don't argue and you don't make excuses, you just do it like Isaac. You say, God, I don't understand it, but I'm going to sow a seed anyway. I'm going to soul, I'm going to do what you're telling me to do. That's when you'll see a harvest. In the midst of a famine, you'll be blessed. Even when other people are struggling, you'll be promoted. Even though you weren't the most qualified, you'll see that dream come to pass. Even though the odds were against you, you will see God's favor open doors that you could never open by yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Are you getting something out of this today?
Amen.
What about the widow in 1 Kings 17? There was a famine in the land. God sends Elijah to her. In 1 Kings 17, 10, he arrived at the gates of the village. He saw a widow was gathering sticks. He asked her, would you like to bring me a little water in a cup? And she replies, look what she says, verse 11, as she was going to go get it. He says, bring me a bite of bread too. She said, I swear by the Lord your God, I don't have a single piece of bread in my house. I only have a little handful of flour, and I got it left in a jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug, and I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I are going to eat it and die. It's my last, all I've got. Elijah says to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you said. Go ahead and do just what you said. But make a little bread for me first. Then what's left, use to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord God, the God of Israel, says. There will always be flour and oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. And it says, so she did. She just did it. She did, as Elijah said. And her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and oil, olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. She had this radical obedience. Obedience is the key to supernatural provision. God's looking for people who will have this bold obedience. If God has to talk you into it, you have to have 7 signs before you believe. No, just make a decision. I'm just going to do whatever God tells me. I'm going to obey God. Well, Pastor Steve, what if it's not right? What if I miss God? Like Joyce Meyer says, don't worry, God will find you. Let me tell you, God would rather you take steps of faith and miss it every once in a while than never take a step of faith. Well, Pastor Steve, I stepped out. I started a business. It didn't work out. That's okay. God's going to open another door for you. I'd rather you take a step of faith and fail and get back up and keep on going than never ever take a step of faith. When we built our first house, we'd gone to look at this lot. We were about to sign the contract. We're so excited. We're going to build the first home. I was 21. I had a check in my heart. It didn't make sense. We love the property. We love the neighborhood. We love the location. But I had this check in my, somebody's telling me no. Thank God I obeyed. Thank God we didn't sign the contract, because a couple of days later we heard about another new development just opened up much closer to us, around the corner. We went to look at it. The moment I stepped on the lot, the excitement rose up in my spirit, and I knew this is the one. That's why I knew I didn't have peace about the first lot. So we bought it. We built our first house. It wasn't a very big house. It was kind of small, like a matchbox. All around us were these big, beautiful homes. I didn't realize at the time that neighborhood would become a very affluent neighborhood. I mean, next door to us was tennis courts, and there was our little house in the middle. But it drove the value of our house up. Yeah. See, God knew what we didn't know. Yeah. That neighborhood where we bought, you know, the first lot we looked at, that we were going to buy initially, and I had a check in my heart, that neighborhood was overrun by squatters. Do you know what squatters are? They just show up and pitch a tent. And those houses in that neighborhood, you couldn't give them away. Their value just went, whoosh. If we'd bought, we would have lost everything we had. But our neighborhood, where we bought the second lot, it just became a sought-after neighborhood. 2 years later, we sold that, and we made $65,000 after 2 years. That's listening and obeying God. It pays to obey God. God knows what he's doing. He's got information you don't have. He can see what you can't see. He knows the beginning from the end. Don't argue with God. I tell you now, you'll lose every time. Trust him. Obey him. Even when it seems far out, dare to have this radical obedience. Instead of reasoning it out, making excuses, talking yourself out of it, make a decision. I'm just going to do it, man. I'm just going to do what God is telling me. Because the quicker you obey, the quicker God can release what he has for you. Sometimes God will even ask you to do things that don't make sense to you. God, you want me to do them a favor? You want me to help them? They wouldn't help me. They wouldn't even include me. We can all make excuses. Oh, it's too hard. It's too big a sacrifice. It's too inconvenient. Let me tell you, if you keep putting off, that causes God to put off what he has in store for you. When you obey, blessings are attached. You may not understand it. It may not make sense. It's okay. Just do it. Just obey what God is telling you. When I left my job and I was working as a furniture salesman, we call ourselves an interior decorator, but really we were salesmen. But my boss and all my coworkers, they thought I was crazy. My boss tried to talk me out of it. He said, "You're making a big mistake, Steve. We're about to move to the biggest, most affluent shopping mall in all of Johannesburg. It was kind of like a restoration hardware kind of deal. Upmarket, this big, beautiful mall, and we're about to expand." And he said to me, "Steve, I was earning $2,000 a month. I was 20 years old in 1984. He said, "You earn $5,000 a month. You just stay with me." And he was right, because he's a multimillionaire today. But I knew that I heard God. I knew that God had spoken to me. And I went out and I left that job and I started working for Pastor Theo, and God has blessed me beyond what I could ever imagine. Let me tell you, God knows what is best for your life. His plan is better than your plan. When you have this bold obedience, God will take you into the fullness of your destiny. God asked Abraham to do something radical. He asked Abraham to take his only son Isaac, the one he prayed and believed for 24 years, and God said, "Put him on the altar and sacrifice him." Abraham didn't understand it. It didn't make sense to him, but he had this bold obedience. And just as about as Abraham was about to go through it, he had the knife raised, Isaac laying on the altar. An angel called from heaven. It was actually the voice of God, the voice of the Lord. And he said, "Don't do it. God just wanted to see if you'd obey. Now I know you truly fear God. Now I know God is first in your life because you were willing to sacrifice your son." You may wonder, "Pastor Steve, why would God ask Abraham to do something like that? That kind of seems like..." You know why? I'll tell you why. Because God made a covenant with Abraham. And in a covenant, you've got to be willing to give all you are to the other person. And the reason that God made a covenant with Abraham is because God wanted to send his only son to come to the earth to redeem us. But in order for God to send his son, Abraham had to be willing to do the same. You understand that? Amen. The angel called to Abraham a second time. And he said in Genesis 22, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. And he said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you've done this thing, because you've not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies." He said, "In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." Because you obeyed my voice. The blessing is not in the first call. The first call is a call for obedience. If you will obey, there will be a second call. The second call is a call for the blessing. You see, when you radically obey, God promises he'll radically bless. But here's the key. The first call is not the blessing. The first call is the test. Are you with me? Will you obey me? Will you give what I say to give? Will you do what I'm asking you to do? If you obey, you pass the test. That's when you hear the second call. That's when God will call out and say, "Okay, now I'm going to bless you. Now I'm going to give you more than you could ever imagine." And some of us today, there's something God's telling you to do, and you're debating it, you're analyzing it, you're making excuses to God. God is saying, just do it. Just do what I'm telling you to do. Sow that radical seed. I encourage you to answer the first call. Be obedient, and you will come to the second call. You will come into the blessing God has for you. You may not understand what God is telling you. It may not make sense to you. That's okay. Turn your mind off. Listen to your heart. That's why God loved David so much. Do you know that David was called a man after God's own heart? Do you know why? Because in Acts 13:22, I'm wrapping it up. It says this. God removed David. God removed Saul. And replaced him with David as king, a man about whom God said, "David is a man after my own heart, for he will obey me." Yeah. The New Living Bible says he will do everything I want him to do. If you want to know why God loved David so much, it's because David would do what God told him to do. David said, and I read this week in Psalm 18, verse 21, "I will follow his commands and never stop. I'll not sin by ceasing to follow him, no matter what. I've kept my eyes focused on his righteous words, and I've obeyed everything he's told me to do." This is David speaking. "And so the Lord has rewarded me with his blessing." Amen. Obedience, say obedience pleases God. Obedience. Do you know that God took the kingdom from King Saul and gave it to David because Saul would not obey God's instruction? 1 Chronicles 10 verse 13, Saul died for his disobedience to the Lord. Saul died for his disobedience to the Lord and because he consulted a medium. He did not ask the Lord for guidance. Go back. He did not ask the Lord for guidance, so the Lord killed him and gave the kingdom to David, the son of Jesse. Two reasons why Saul lost the kingdom. He wouldn't obey God, and he looked to a spiritual medium for guidance instead of looking to God. If we don't obey Jesus, and I want to close with this, if we don't obey Jesus, is he really Lord of our life? Jesus said in Luke 6, 46, why do you call me Lord when you won't obey me? Why do you call me Lord when you don't do what I say? But all those who come and listen and obey me, he said, they are like a man who builds a house on a strong foundation laid upon the underlying rock. And when the flood waters rose and break against that house, it stands firm because it's strongly built. It's founded on the rock. But those who listen and don't obey are like a man who builds a house without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it crumbles into a heap of ruins. The Bible says when you hear what God, you hear the word of God and you do it, you're building your house on a rock. Hebrews 5 verse 9. Jesus became the giver of eternal salvation to those who obey him. See, most people think that the way that you get saved is by believing in Jesus. The Bible says even the demons believe in Jesus. It is not believing in Jesus that saves you. It is making Jesus Lord of your life, and that means obeying him. Don't shut me down because I'm preaching good today. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus didn't respond directly, but he said, who do you think my mother and my brothers are? He stretched out his hand toward his disciples. He said, look closely. These are my mother and my brothers. Obedience is thicker than blood. The person who obeys my heavenly Father is my brother and my sister and my mother. When you obey your heavenly Father, that makes you part of my true family. Luke 8, 21, my mother and my brothers are all those who hear God's word and obey it. Jesus said, my true brothers and mother and sisters are those who hear the word of God and do it. Really, obedience is not an option. If you make a decision to just do it, just obey whatever God says, I declare in the name of Jesus, because you radically obey, you're about to come into radical blessings. You're about to come into radical favor. You're about to come into radical breakthroughs. Because you have a bold obedience, God's going to do something amazing in your life. God's favor is being poured out upon you. Like Isaac, the seeds you've sown, they're going to be multiplied back to you 100-fold in the name of Jesus. Like Abraham, God is going to thrust you into the fullness of your destiny, taking you further than you ever dreamed was possible. In Jesus' name, my encouragement to you is just do it. Tell your neighbor, just do it. Just do what God is telling you to do. Amen. Did you get something out of this today? Because I sure did. Give God thanks and praise. Will you do that? Just bow your head for a moment. I want to pray for you. Every head bowed. I pray, Lord, for everyone here today, everyone watching this. I pray, Father, that every one of us would have this radical obedience, that every one of us would live with this attitude. Whatever he tells me, I will do it. I will just do whatever God tells me. I won't debate it. I won't reason it out. I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. Where you at, Kelly? You should be at the piano. Thank you, Kelly. Praise the Lord. Now, why do you got your head bowed? Why you got your eyes closed? Before we close the service today, I always want to give an opportunity. I want to pray for anyone here this morning. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right between you and the Lord, if you were to die today, if you say, Pastor Steve, I'm not sure what would happen to me if I died today, I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven. Let me tell you the good news. You can be sure. You can walk out of here this morning and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can know that every mistake and sin you've ever committed, it's forgiven, it's washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But if you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm going to ask you quickly right now. Just lift your hand up. Just raise your hand up. Say, pray for me. Include me in that prayer, Pastor Steve. I'm looking for hands. And if your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer today. God bless you. Tom, do we see some hands raised today? Let me know, just yes or no. We did have people raise their hand. I want you to, if you raised your hand, if you're watching this online, you're not sure what would happen to you if you died today, say this prayer with me. Everybody say, Dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me. Come on, say it with me. To die on that cross in my place. Lord, you said that if I would believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I would confess Jesus is my Lord, you said I would be saved. Say it with me. Say, I do this today. I believe with all my heart, Jesus, you're alive. I ask you, come into my heart. Come into my life. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Save me today. I confess Jesus is Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you, Lord. I'm going to do what your Bible says. I'm going to obey you. Say, I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I am born again. I'm a child of God. God, you're my very own Father. Come on, say it with me. Say, I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home. My name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Give God thanks and praise. The Bible says all of heaven rejoices when one person, let me tell you, there's nothing to get more excited about than when somebody receives Jesus and someone gives their life to Jesus. That's the most exciting thing that can happen. Amen.
It was good preaching. I think you made me change my offering every 5 minutes because there was so much in there. There is a blessing on the other side of obedience. Amen. And right now we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. The envelopes right where you're sitting. Those that are watching online, you can go ahead. Just click give online and it'll lead you through a process. First time, use the little setup. After that, really simple. Thank you to those who've been faithful to tithe and give even throughout the week. We really appreciate it. But the thing that stood out to me, so many things, but just as far as the offering goes, Pastor Steve gave a couple of stories there, but two, to me, describe the two opposite sides when it comes to tithing. Because the first one in Joshua chapter 7, where Achan, God says, I want you to take everything of value. This is the first city. This is set apart to the Lord. I want you to give everything to the temple, and Achan decides that he knew better than God. And the Bible says that he said, I'll take some of God's stuff and mix it with my stuff. You know, he probably looked and said, there's so much, not going to miss it. God will understand. I need it more than they do. All the reasoning that a person can have when it comes to you, I'm not going to tithe because the church is okay and somebody else will give and God knows I need it. And if I don't pay this, and you can talk yourself right out of it. But the Bible says that because Achan did that, that it caused there to be defeat in his life. I mean, it was way worse than that. You heard the description, but there was defeat because of it. So you kind of shoot yourself in the foot. Because you think, well, I'm going to have more stuff because I keep God's stuff with my stuff. But at the end of the day, you have less stuff, right? And then the other example was the widow woman who had nothing. And she would die and her child would die. I mean, it didn't make sense for her to obey God. It didn't make sense for her to give. It didn't make sense for her the first part to go to the man of God, to go to God. But she did it. And on the other side of it was abundance. Her child lived because of it. She lived because of it, and she was provided for throughout that famine. So there's the lesson right there in the blessing following obedience. Amen. So let's go ahead and give. Thank you for that. And then just say this with me. Say, there is a blessing on the other side of my obedience. Say, thank you, Lord, for supplying all my need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. You can go ahead and give. Thank you. Appreciate it. We thank all our volunteers. Our kids' church had a little upgrade today. If you don't know, if you don't have small kids, you don't know the excitement that comes with the Bible bookstore. We have a reward system where the kids, if they bring their Bible, learn their memory verse, obey in class, worship, they get Bible bucks because positive reinforcement, right? And then they can use their Bible bucks to buy something in the Bible bookstore. Man, is that a motivator?
So we got a whole new counter. We got a whole new counter.
We got a whole new counter.
Looks like Chuck E. Cheese back there.
It looks like Chuck E. Cheese, right. And it blows their mind.
So yeah, they love it.
My grandson was in there, Bible offering. Boy, he's going to get every buck he can think
of. And we thank all of our volunteers who serve in children's ministry and media department, the ushers, the greeters, everyone who serves. Give them a round of applause. We appreciate you so much. I want to thank everyone who gives and online. Thanks everyone who gave to the television. You know, we're excited because on November the 15th, our church is going on Fox 29, 7:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, 7:30 a.m. We're going on Fox 29. You better get ready because God's about to take us to a whole new level. We're going to have thousands of people watching. I'm expecting people to be flooding into this church. Amen. So thank you, because that's why I'm going on TV. I'm not going on TV because I want anyone to see me, to be honest with you. I'm going on TV because I want people to know about our church, and I want people to be drawn to Jesus. Amen. I want their life to be changed by the Lord. That's why. So thank you for everyone who gave to television. We're still trusting God for a little. We're a little short, but thank you to everyone who's given. If the Lord speaks to you to give to the TV ministry, we had to buy $10,000 of extra equipment. We're going to be going from one camera to three cameras, and we had to get recording switches, and it's technical, but believe me, there's a lot of equipment we had to do to upgrade to be at the quality we want to be on Fox 29, and we'll be there. We've got everything ordered, everything on the way, so thank you so much. Where's Tom Cartwright? I want Tom Cartwright to come up here real quick. Where, someone grab Tom. He's busy. Well, I want to let you know what's happening here on Wednesday night. Tom Cartwright and Allison and Tom and Anna, and Allison's their daughter. Tom, come up here real quick if you can. We got an event on Sunday with them on Wednesday, this Wednesday at 7, called the Invent Shine. And Tom is an amazing inventor. His products have made over $100 million. And you're going to be here on Wednesday night. And I want to encourage you, man, to support our brother in the Lord. We're gonna be filming. Tom's going to be filming this, and this presentation is going to be filmed. It's going to go all around the world. Pastor Theo already told me that he wants your program in all 1,200 churches. So I want to encourage you to come and support Tom and Anna and Allison. Not just only support them. You're gonna learn a lot. They're going to share with you ideas. God's put it on their heart to help believers to rise up and to prosper. And very often, God gives us an idea. Do you know one idea can make you a millionaire? Just one idea. But very often, we don't know what to do with it. We don't know how to. You tell me.
No, that's exactly it. It's actually, I feel like this is something God wants to support you with. And, you know, my heart is really, God's turned it into InventShine so that people with ideas, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to begin. This is a way for you to step out. Just like Pastor Steve was talking about being obedient, God has given some of you people ideas and insights and solutions to things. Those could be the very thing that could make the difference in your life.
That's right.
Of having something that would be a new income stream. So I really see this as an opportunity for you to find out how to take these ideas and then to begin to safely and securely evaluate them, at least in the beginning. And then God will take over. He'll begin to direct you and show you how to get on this journey as we heard today, he wants to bless us and prosper us. So see if this is of something that God is stirring in your heart and that he wants to bring to pass for you.
And it's on Wednesday, and it's from 7 o'clock till 8, right?
Probably till 8, just an hour.
From 7 till 8 o'clock.
But there's a lot of depth in this, and it'll answer, I think, a lot of things that you've been thinking about and shed light for you on it.
And we're also we're opening it up to anyone. If you have friends out there,
bring friends.
It's a business meeting. Bring them with, right?
I was talking to someone last week, and they said, well, I don't really have an idea, but my neighbor has a lot of gadgets, and he always fooling around. I said, well, invite him. Maybe God wants to bring him here. This might be his answer. So just be open, and
Amen.
People that have ideas or inventors that you know, ask them to come, and it's a free event. Amen. Amen.
Stand up with us, would you? Stand up together, everybody. Lord, we thank you today for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that is your. You have a good plan for us. You have blessings you want to release in our life, Father. We thank you for leading us this week, guiding us, Lord. We commit to you to just do whatever you tell us. We're going to obey whatever you tell us to do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you, worship team. Praise the Lord.
The dry bones are rattling. This is the praise. Make a dead man walk again. Hope in the grave. I'm coming up. I'm gonna live. Gonna live again. This is the sound of a dry bones rattling.